Welcome to From A to Z, where Anya and Zoe talk all things books. I'm Anya Booten.
And I'm Zoe Lewis, and today we're going to be talking about some hot topics, including book talk, favorite tropes, some movie adaptations and what our thoughts are on those, and then our update on what we're reading and our reading goals for this year. So first with book talk. Book talk, if you don't know what book talk is, it's interesting. It's just on TikTok, and like people recommend books to you, or they just talk about the scenes in the books and how they feel about it. Some of them are kind of funny. But yeah, so Anya, what are your thoughts on book talk?
I think book talk has been both good and bad for the reading community. I mean, on the one hand, it's been a really good model for getting people into reading who maybe weren't super into it in the past or got out of it after middle school and high school. I mean, if you walk into any Barnes and Noble now, they'll have a book talk section as like a marketing gimmick to get people to pick up those books. So I think that can be really great, especially for like young indie authors who maybe don't have a big publishing house behind them who are trying to get their book out there. Maybe they don't have the money to sink into a lot of advertising campaigns, but they do have creativity. They can make TikToks promoting their book. And if their book starts trending on TikTok, that can really help get them started and established as an author. So on the one hand, I think it's done a lot of great things for the reading community. On the other hand, I think there are some issues with book talk, including a lack of media literacy and some of the discussions that I see on there. But I've seen a lot of trending books on book talk that are really more focused on like smut and sexual content.
Yes.
Instead of actual, like, you know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah.
No, I totally get it. That's what I was going to say like earlier too. Like, I feel like a lot of books I see are like very smutty, and you know, some people like those books. Like, I mean, I enjoy some of them. I don't like them all, but there's not a lot with just a good story or plot.
Yes.
Or if they are, like, they're okay. Mm-hmm. They're not great. Personally, I love book talk. I think it's funny to watch. And I like to see like what other people think of like the books that I'm reading. I think the recommendations that I do receive from book talk, like I love the fantasy recommendations, like all the Sarah J. Maas books. I'm excited to read Fourth Wing. I also read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
That's been on my reading list for a while.
It's really good. I really like it. I would not have known about that book if I didn't see it on book talk. I feel like book talk is this, I feel like sometimes book talk is a lot of easy reads.
Yeah.
And I don't mind easy reads. Definitely like trying to get back in the flow of like reading, but I don't know. I'm not like, if it doesn't make me think very much, I'm not really like in love with it. But I hated We Both Die at the End. That was few years ago.
I remember that being everywhere on book talk.
Yes, I hate that book. It's so bad. Maybe it's because like I knew that they were gonna both die at the end, but I was just like, what's the point of this? That's kind of how my thoughts were.
I've also been screwed over by book talk in the past. One of the books that I read this past summer was The Midnight Library, which was trending everywhere on TikTok over the summer. And that book, I was really excited for that book. It had a really like interesting premise, and it was gonna delve into like depression, topics around that. And that's a topic that I really love to read about. And I was just so disappointed by one, how surface level the book was, how it didn't really seem to come to like a satisfying conclusion. And also just the depiction of depression, I feel was not a good representation of what people go through when they're dealing with that. And I don't know, I was just really disappointed. I feel like that kind of, I don't know, like, I don't dislike book talk. I'm still on book talk, but it was just kind of a reminder for me that like, just because a book is trending doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a good or satisfying read.
Yes, exactly. I totally agree with you. But yeah, love book talk. Probably 7 or 6.5 out of 10 for me.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but yeah, next we're going to be talking about our favorite tropes.
Yes.
And honestly, I kind of had to look it up because I was like, wait, because I'm thinking of tropes as more of like a love, like, exchange, I guess. But I was completely wrong. Like, there's so many more tropes.
Yes.
And I had to learn the difference between a trope and an archetype. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit hard for me for a second. But yeah, I think it's actually really interesting when I looked more further into it. So Anya, what are your favorite tropes?
So I do have some romance ones for me. Enemies to lovers, friends to lovers. I just really love when you take an existing relationship and evolve it, build on it. That's really fun for me. And then outside of like the romance genre, I really love like any kind of redemption arc or the reverse of that, fall from grace. Like, I love taking a really good character and then over the plot, just kind of like watching them lose faith in humanity or doing the reverse and starting out with a really like bitter chip on their shoulder type character and then having the book end with them kind of being that hero. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I like that trope too. I like enemies to lovers. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, or just like, I don't know. I like it.
It's satisfying.
It is. It's just like, oh, there's the tension there is awesome, but they're not going for it. My other romance trope that I really like, and I guess I haven't noticed it, but it's forced proximity. Mm-hmm. So like whenever someone has to like be with each other and then they're like, oh, okay. But I really like that. I think that's great. And I'm going to be basic. I love the chosen one. Trope.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a classic for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just easy to rely on that. And I like the reluctant hero a lot. Mm-hmm. So whenever
I do really love that one as well.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just because like they don't want to like, I think it's just because they're like opposing like mm-hmm. what their future is. And I like seeing them be like grow into that not career, but like
like role as a character.
Yeah, grow into that role as a character, and then they actually enjoy it and then like flourishing in that role. I think I really liked it a lot, and that's what I've noticed in a lot of my books is mm-hmm. like that's what I like to read. Should I branch out? Maybe, but I really like it.
So we've talked a little bit about some of our tropes that we really love. Now we're going to talk about movie adaptations of books. So Zoe, do you want to go first on ones you've liked or haven't liked?
Yeah, so I feel like I have read... I was going to say I have not read many books that I've turned into movies, but I really think I have. Like I've read It Ends With Us. I've read the one that flew under the cuckoo's nest, or however you say that. Obviously Harry Potter and like Where the Crawdads mm-hmm. Sing. Some of them I feel like I haven't like seen the movie because I'm kind of scared to watch it, or I may just not realize there's a movie. But like It Ends With Us, I don't know. I'm kind of like hit or miss on that right now with that movie. I don't know if I'll watch it. Harry Potter, classic. Mm-hmm. There's obviously like a lot missing from the movies like that are like in the books, but I think they did what they could with it. Like I think if they added more, it would have been so long. And that's why there's books.
Yeah. I was recently, my friend Isaac had never watched the Harry Potter movies. Ugh. And we sat what down and I forced him to watch all 8 with me.
Good.
And we actually watched the final movie this past weekend. And I asked him what he thought about them. And his main complaint was just, I wanted there to be more character development, okay. more time with background characters, more world building. And I told him, you know, like, that is all present in the book, but that is one of those things that you struggle with a movie adaptation is you have, you know, 500, 600, 800 pages and you've got to condense it into 2.5 hours. There's so much that gets left out.
Mm-hmm. Especially with a series like Harry Potter. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, there's, what, 8 movies?
Yeah.
Like, you can only do, and each movie is almost 2 hours mm-hmm. or more than 2 hours. There's only so much, but I think they did really good. That's what I grew up watching.
Yeah.
It's a classic. I love it. I cry sometimes when I watch them, but it's okay. But one movie adaptation that I absolutely hate is Where the Crawdads Sing. Mm-hmm. I was so excited because I knew that movie was coming out that year, and I got that book for Christmas, and I was reading it. I literally read it in like 4 days. I was so excited. And it's not a big book, though, but it's a mystery book, which I'm not really in love with. Or not in love with, but I don't read a lot of mystery books. But yeah, that I was just like waiting during, I'm not going to spoil it or like talk about it, but I was just like waiting for this thing to happen. And I think they really, like the protagonist, they just did not do her justice at mm-hmm. all. Like she had so much more personality in the book. That was so fun. And then the movie, she was just bland. Like she was just like, oh, I'm from the swamp. I was an orphan. She was just so bland and stupid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is dumb. Like this girl loves to like do so much with like nature and like loves art, like all that good stuff. But yeah, I hated it. And that really, I will never watch that movie again. Yeah. But yeah.
So I have had similar experiences. There's some movie adaptations that I love, some that I really dislike. I think an example for me, at least, for a bad movie adaptation was the most recent adaptation of Persuasion by Jane Austen. That was the first Austen novel that I ever read. And I just remember that heroine in the book being very, like, quiet and contemplative and introspective. And I think a lot of times movies don't really know what to do when they get a female lead like that. They want to make them loud and boisterous or like strong and more masculine. And they really did that to her in the movie. Like, they kind of changed her personality a lot to the point that she wasn't really recognizable. And it took this like really quiet, almost somber, although there were funny parts, but almost somber read of that Jane, one of her more serious novels, that had all of these really great messages about, like, you know, not, you know, looking at people just on the outside, but maybe looks can be deceiving, and like holding out for things and being like willing to be vulnerable with your emotions. And they just completely dumbed it down. And it was so sad to see. But then I've also had some examples where I've seen some really good adaptations. For me, Dune 2 is a really great example of this. I love the Dune novel. It's one of my favorites. I read that in June. And Dune 1 and Dune 2, I feel like were both really great at doing justice to that book. There was so much to cover. Those movies are obviously very long and they split it into two parts. But it's an 800-page book, and I think that was needed. But they did so much justice to all of those characters. And even the changes that they did make, I thought made a lot of sense for the adaptation. I couldn't even really be mad at them. And the example that I always look at when I try to explain that to people without giving too much away is the character of Paul Atreides' younger sister.
Okay. And that's not Timothy.
Right, not Timothy.
Okay, okay, okay.
And in the book, she's born and she's about 2 years old when the events of the second movie are unfolding. And the director of the movie made the decision that instead he was just going to have her be like still a fetus, not yet born. And I know that sounds kind of weird if you haven't like read or seen it, but it was a really big difference from the book, but it worked so well. And it was such a good decision for the adaptation. So when it comes to an adaptation being good or bad, I try not to get too upset about like details like that where they're changing like minor plot points, and more focused on like, is it capturing the overall like vibe and like theme of the books? And I think that's something that the Persuasion movie did not accomplish, and it's something the Dune movies have.
Yeah. I have wanted to read Dune for a long time.
So
I have watched the first movie, and I can't, it's been so long since I watched it. Like, I could not even tell you what happens. I know Zendaya was barely in it, and Timothy Chalamet slays. That's all I can tell you. But I do want to read it. I can't wait now that you've told me all of that.
Oh, it is so good. And I feel like people try to, like, gatekeep that book. I remember after seeing the movies, I was like, should I read Dune? And everyone was like, it's so long. It's so dull.
That's
it takes forever to get started. Not true. Like, the Reverend Mother is there with the Gamjabar, very first page of the book. Like, it starts at a sprint and it never slows down. So I really recommend it, especially if you like fantasy, because I feel like there's a lot of overlap between the fantasy and sci-fi genre in terms of like world building and like characterization and the way it's written.
Yeah. I remember my friends in high school were reading it and I was like, oh, that looks so cool. And they were like, no, like it's really long and like it's really complicated.
Yeah.
Which they were men too.
Right.
So
right.
Whatever.
Yeah. I'm not gatekeeping that book. Anyone who's even remotely interested in getting into sci-fi or like the movie, like I cannot recommend reading that book enough. It was so good.
Okay. And just to like quickly like say something about that, you mentioned gatekeeping a book.
Mm-hmm.
What do you gatekeep? Like, do you have a book that you're like, no, this is mine?
Honestly, not really. I think because I am just such a yapper. Like, I just love to talk to people about things that I love. And so if I read a book that I really like, even if it was like a really like personal or intimate connection that I had with the book, I'm immediately like going around and like trying to force all of the people in my life to read the book or at least see the movie adaptation of it so that I have someone to talk about it with.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I feel like mine, I feel like not really gatekeep, but I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my baby.
What is it?
Well, okay. So one is A Witch in Time, which
okay.
I think you would really like it. It's like a fantasy, of course, but it's also like a mystery too. Mm-hmm. And basically, this witch is having to live through all these lifetimes and like she has to like do something, like she has to find love by this certain age, but she doesn't remember any of her lifetimes. So sometimes it'll be like, or if she does remember them, it's very late in her life and she only has a certain amount of time. I read this book and I love it. It's so good. Like the way that they publish, like the art of the book, like the paperback copy, it's so pretty too. I love it. But yeah, you should read it. I don't want to say too much because I feel like I'll spoil
okay,
it.
Okay.
But it's a 4 out of 5 on Goodreads.
Ooh,
and it was published in 2020. And I don't know this author, Constance Sayers.
Okay.
And it does have like historical fiction in it too. That's so fun. I know you like that.
I do.
But A Glass Castle too.
Okay.
I love that book. Not necessarily gatekeeping.
I also really love that book.
But I'm just like, it's just so, yeah. It's so beautiful.
It's really well written. It's gorgeously written. And I think I don't gatekeep. One thing I do, however, is if I have like a novel that's really near and dear to my heart and I convince someone to read it, I'm like, okay, here, read it. And if you don't like it, don't tell me. Like, literally don't say a single negative thing about this book or I'll like burst into tears. Like,
I will argue with you.
Yeah, I'll be like, no, it's actually perfect and there's nothing wrong with it.
That's how I would feel about The Glass Castle. Like, that book ripped out my heart, threw it on the ground and like crushed, like just stomped on it. And like, it's, oh my gosh. There's a few books that have made me cry, but like bawling. I bawled. But yeah, just to wrap again, I'll wrap this up. So we're going to talk about our reading updates. I'm currently on my fourth book of the year, which is really good.
That is.
I'm reading the last book of the Crescent City series. Ooh. So that's, I'll finish the SJM universe until she releases another book. but I don't think that's happening for a while. After that, I plan to read the Fourth Wing series. Mm-hmm. Also found that on BookTok. And it's about like dragons. That's really all I know is it's about dragons. And I think dragons are pretty cool.
They are pretty cool.
Yeah. So Anya, what are you about to read next? And what are you currently reading?
So I'm also on my fourth book, of the year. I think last time we talked on this podcast, I was reading The Goldfinch.
Mm-hmm.
Finished that. It is now my favorite book of all time. And so in typical me fashion, I forced my friends to watch the movie adaptation because they're never going to read the book. So that's now my favorite novel of all time. Really solidified my love for Donna Tartt as an author. And then since then, I've read one of the more recent Percy Jackson books, which was a weird experience because it was me kind of realizing like, oh, these books really aren't written for me anymore. That's so sad. Yeah. Like, end of an era. And then I
didn't even know there were more.
Yes. He has him now, Percy Jackson, in like senior year of high school going into college, which like it was fun for me to read just to like see like our boy all grown up. But I was also like, gosh, these aren't written for me anymore.
I was a Grover fan. Mm-hmm. I love Grover. Mm-hmm.
And then I also read a debut novel, Black Chalk, which was supposed to be like a thriller, like college, dark academia. I was really disappointed by that one, unfortunately, just the way that it was written. But I'm now reading, I guess you would call it a classic book. It's The Enchanted April by Elizabeth von Arnim, written in the 1920s. And it's about like a group of four women who like aren't super happy with their lives, their places in society at that time. And so they get away for an enchanted April and they rent like a big house on the coast of Italy for a month. And it's them like getting to know each other. I'm about halfway through it so far. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really loving her writing style. And then this probably won't be the next book that I read, but I do really, 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 I think, want to read It by Stephen King.
Okay.
Which just kind of ties back into like movie adaptations that we were talking about, because Zoe and I are in Western Kentucky and we just had some really, really terrible weather recently.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, bad storms. Classes were canceled for a couple days. And I spent one of those days just rewatching both It movies from 2017, ooh, 2019. I love those films.
Okay.
And I was just finally like, I just need to read the book. Like, I love the movie so much, I need to read them. It'll be my second Stephen King book that I read.
I've also wanted to read his books.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it compares to those films, like how different that it is. I know it's really different, but just to see if I still love the book as much as those movies. And then I need to order that one. So that's coming up, but it probably won't be the next book that I read.
Yeah.
I think the next one is probably going to be The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Okay.
Because I haven't read it yet. It's been sitting on my bookshelf. And with the new Hunger Games book coming out, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm falling behind. I need to read the last book so I can read the new one.
I feel like I just have to reread all of it if I'm going to like go for it. Because there's just so much that like, especially in like Mockingjay Part 2. Or well, there's only one Mockingjay book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, my bad. Well, there's a Part 2 for the movie. Anyways, that's also a great movie adaptation from what I've read and seen. Love it. I also want to read that, but I feel like I have to reread all of it and then it's kind of stressing me out. But going back to what you said about Stephen King, I would love to see, I can't remember what it's called. It's with the house, like the hotel.
You know? Oh, The Shining?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The Shining. I think that would be so cool to read and see how it compares, because like there's so many like, I guess like, okay, like The Simpsons, they have like a Shining episode. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. And I love The Simpsons and I just want to see like how they compare, or like, I guess, quote compare.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, funny story about it. I went to see It Chapter One in 2017, mm-hmm. and my parents picked me up because I was on a date and I was like 13. And in the mirror, like in the rear view mirror, I saw a red balloon and I'm 13 and I just scream and I'm like, what the heck? This is awful. And then my parents hit another red balloon in the shower. Like I was about to
Your parents are actually hilarious for that.
It was so,
I'm so sorry.
No, it's awesome thinking about it now. Like I want to do that to my children, but like, I was like, there was a red balloon in the shower and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I hate you guys right now. This is criminal. And yeah.
Well, one day we'll have to both read it together and yes. compare our thoughts on it.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, thank you guys all for joining us on this episode of From A to Z. I've been Anya, she's been Zoe, and just thank you guys for hanging out with us for a little while. Bye.
Bye.